Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Lady Esther celebrates one of the truly great occasions in the history of the Screen Guild Players. Two distinguished theatrical families contribute their talents to a famous play by a delightful and witty author. Lady Esther brings you Miss Ethel Barrymore, Mr. Lionel Barrymore, and Mr. Douglas Fairbanks, Jr., in J.M. Barrie's play, The Old Lady Shows Her Medals. And since most good plays have a preface, here is Mr. Barrymore with ours. Mr. Barrymore.
You know, most playwrights have an attitude. They'll tell you no one completely understands their characters. Not even the actors who read the lines, who so to speak, put the flesh upon a skeleton of words. Well, we have a brilliant author tonight, and a most distinguished cast. I don't mean to provoke a discussion, but after all, we want to do this play for you, so I'm sure that Ethel and Doug won't mind if Mr. Barrie speaks up occasionally and has his little word or two. And that being mutually agreed upon, I think it's time that we let the author set the scene. The place is London during the war. The war to end all wars. You know, the one before the last one. Three nice old ladies and a criminal, who was even nicer, are discussing the war over a bit of refreshment. Mrs. Dowie, the hostess, who also happens to be our criminal, is the first to speak.
Ladies, do you have another dish of tea?
Yeah, you notice she calls it a dish of tea, which shows that she's Scotch. Oh, that's not a crime, though.
Thank you, Mrs. Dowie. I believe I will.
Very kind, I'm sure.
So will I.
Now, these nice old ladies are London charwomen, professionally called charwomen and, or simply ands, which mean that they're caretakers, too. All but Mrs. Haggerty. She's just a charwoman and nothing else. Mrs. Haggerty, as a matter of fact, is not at our party by invitation. She simply tagged along after the others and so shuffled into the play against our wish. Oh, I imagine we could remove her, but since she slipped in, we let her stay, provided she keeps quiet.
Thank you, Mr. Arthur.
Now then, Mrs. Dowie knows, of course, that she is a criminal. But unlike the author, she has no idea she's going to be found out. So all of these four lively old codgers, Mrs. Dowie is the merriest, as she presses more tea upon her guests.
Come, ladies, another dish of tea. Just one more winkle, Mrs. Mickleham.
Thank you, Mrs. Dowie. I'm up to there.
As a matter of fact, there's only one winkle left, and the Haggerty woman has her eye on that.
I dare say I should know, and I say it is.
Mrs. Twimbley is annoyed. Someone must have contradicted her.
That's what I say, it is.
And I say it may be so.
I suppose I ought to know, me that has a son a prisoner in Germany.
Oh, she scored with that one. But watch the others rally now.
My son is fighting in France.
Mine was wounded in two places.
Mine's at Salonike.
Salonike. Excuse me, Mrs. Haggerty, but the correct pronunciation is Salonike.
I don't think. And I speak as one that has war saving certificates.
And haven't we all? By the way, I had a letter from my Percy yesterday.
My Alfred sent me his photo.
Letters from Salonike is less common.
Well, Mrs. Dowie, you old rogue, will you let yourself be outdone by them? Show them your packet of letters. Go on.
My Kenneth writes to me every week. Look at these. All his.
Well, Alfred has little time for writing, being a bombardier.
Oh, it isn't just how often he writes. Tell me, do your letters begin, dear mother?
Generally.
Every time.
Kenneth's begin, dearest mother.
Oh, ho. Hey, that was a knockout blow. But go ahead, Mrs. Twimbley. Do your best now.
You're Kenneth, Mrs. Dowie. A short man, I should say, judging by yourself.
6'2" and a half.
Oh. Mm-hmm. A kilty, did you tell me?
He's in the famous Black Watch.
Oh, indeed. Well, we can't all be kilties.
That's very true.
Mrs. Dowie, this Kenneth of yours, has he great airy legs.
Tremendous. As a matter of fact, I might even say...
Excuse me, old lady, I'll have to stop you there. Naturally, you don't know it yet, but your nemesis is about to enter. Nemesis, in this case, is the Reverend Mr. Willings. Mr. Willings has led a rather drab existence, but happily for him, he'll never know it. On the contrary, he always thinks of himself as in the thick of things. Now, as he enters, his smile is triumphant, for he knows that he's in the thick of them again.
Oh, no, ladies, please, I really can't stay. Only long enough to tell you, that is.
What?
Friends, I have news.
News from the front, my Alfred, sir.
I tell you all at once that all is well. The news is for Mrs. Dowie.
News for me?
Your son, Mrs. Dowie. He has got 5 days' leave.
My son? Are you sure?
Quite sure. He's arrived.
Arrived? In London?
Yes, indeed. I've spoken to him.
Mrs. Dower, you're a lucky woman.
Oh, congratulations.
Ladies, believe me, it's quite a romance. I was in the Church Army quarters in Central Street when suddenly, I can't account for it, but suddenly my eyes alighted on a Highlander seated rather drearily on a bench with his kit at his feet.
A big man, Reverend?
A great brawny fellow.
Oh.
My friend, I said, welcome back to Blighty. I make a point of calling it Blighty. I wonder, I said, if there's anything I can do for you. He shook his head. What regiment, I asked. Black Watch, 5th Battalion, he said. Name, I asked. Dowie, he said.
I declare.
I put my hand on his shoulder like this. Kenneth Dowie, I said, I know your mother.
What did he say to that?
He was incredulous. Indeed, he seemed to think I was balmy. So I offered to bring him straight to you.
Bring him to me?
I wonder he needed to be brought.
Oh, he just arrived and was bewildered by the great city. He listened to me in the taciturn Scotch way, and then he gave me a curious laugh.
Laugh?
The Scotch, Mrs. Twimley, expressed their emotions differently from us.
Oh.
When I'd finished, he said at once, let us go and see the old lady.
You mean he's coming?
More than that, Mrs. Dowie. I mean he's here.
Well, now, old lady, you're up against it, aren't you? You know you haven't any son, and yet here he is. You're frightened, of course. You wonder how it'll all turn out. Well, so do we, as a matter of fact, so let's get on with it. Let's get the others decently out, and let's face Private Dowie as he comes down the stairs.
Well, how about it, Mrs.? Do you recognize your loving son?
I'm pleased I wrote so often, mister.
And I imagine you'll tell me those are my answers, that packet of letters you got in your hand.
Well?
Here, let me see them. Well, they're all in order, apparently. All addressed in pencil to Mrs. Dowie, marked open by censor. Hello. Nothing but blank paper inside. Is this your writing on the envelope?
Yes.
Well, that's it, eh? The covey told me you were a charwoman, so I suppose you picked the envelopes out of waste paper baskets or such like and then changed the addresses, eh?
Yes.
Well, I've got a good mind to...
Oh, no, no. Don't you burn them letters, mister.
Oh, why not? They're not real letters.
They're all I have.
I thought you had a son.
I never had a man or a son or anything. I just call myself Mrs. to give me a standing.
Well, it's past my seeing through. What made you do it?
It was everybody's war, mister, except mine. I wanted it to be my war, too.
Well, you'll need to be plainer. Yet I'm cursed if I care to hear you, you lying old trickster. So I'll be getting on.
Already?
Of course. I just came here to give you an ugly piece of my mind.
Well, you haven't given it to me yet.
You have got a cheek.
Oh, yes, sir. You wouldn't drink some tea.
Me? I tell you, I just came here to blaze away at you.
Oh, well, you could blaze away while you was drinking tea. And there's Winkles.
Winkles? Where?
Right here in the... Oh, well, there was Winkles. Mrs. Haggerty must have got the last.
Well, it doesn't matter. I wouldn't touch her, Winkles, not me. You're just a common rogue.
Yes, sir.
Now then, out with it. I want the truth.
It's God's truth. My name is Dowie, mister.
No, it's enough to make me change mine. Go on.
I've been charring and charring and charring as far back as I mind. I've been in London these 20 years.
We'll skip your early days. I have an appointment.
And then when I was old, the war broke out.
Well, how could that affect you?
Oh, mister, that's the thing. It didn't affect me. It affected everybody but me. The neighbors looked down on me. Even the posters on the walls of the woman saying, "Go, my boy," leered at me. I sometimes cried by myself in the dark. You wouldn't have a cup of tea?
No.
Then suddenly, like the idea come to me to pretend I had a son.
You depraved old liar. But what in the name of old Nick made you choose me out of the whole British Army?
Maybe, mister, because I liked you best.
Oh, now, woman.
I read one day in the papers in which he was assisted by Private K. Dowie, 5th Battalion, Black Watch.
Yeah, did you know? Well, I expect that's the only time I ever was in the papers. And how did you guess the K stood for Kenneth?
Does it? An angel whispered it to me in my sleep.
Well, that's the only angel in the whole black business. Yeah, you little thought I'd turn up, did you? Or did you?
I was beginning to be weary for the sight of you, Kenneth.
What word was that?
Mister.
Well, I hope you're pleased with me now that you see me.
I'm very pleased. Does your folk live in Scotland?
Aye, in Glasgow.
Both living?
Aye.
Is your mother terrible proud of you?
Naturally.
And be going on to them?
Well, after I've had a skite in London first.
Sure she's in London.
Who?
Your young lady.
And if she is, are you jealous?
Not me.
You needn't be. She's a young thing.
You surprise me. A beauty, no doubt.
You may be sure she's a titled person, too. And in the magazines, you're always reading of her.
I am.
If you can read. But she's been good to me. Send me a lot of good things she has, especially cakes and a worsted waistcoat. With a loving message on the enclosed card. But it was the cakes that...
Mister, won't you try one of my cakes?
No, not me.
They're my own making.
No, I thank you.
Oh, but you must. You must. Here is one that Mrs. Haggerty had no chance to... What's the matter, mister? The way you look. Tell me.
That's exactly the kind of cake her ladyship sends me.
And was the waistcoat right, mister? I hope the Black Watch colors pleased you.
I never mentioned the colors. Now, wait a minute. Was it you? Well, was it?
I daren't give my own name, you see, and I was always reading here in the papers.
Woman, is there no getting rid of you?
I hope I haven't made you angry.
Oh, the devil! Give me some tea.
Second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
Tonight, for the last time, I remind you, if you would like one of my special 30th anniversary sets, you must go at once to your favorite store and get one. Unless you do go right away, I'm afraid you'll find none left, and I'll not be able to offer these sets again. It's really important. If you want one of my Lady Esther 30th anniversary sets, don't put it off another day. This specially packaged set is a regular $1.93 value, but you can have it for only 98 cents plus tax. You save 95 cents, and I am sure that you will find it an even greater value than you expect, as so many women have written to tell me. You see, here's what my anniversary set contains. A large $1.38 jar of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, and in addition, the 55-cent box of Lady Esther face powder in my very flattering new bridal pink shade. Together, these two Lady Esther products represent a regular value of $1.93, but both are yours in my anniversary set for only 98 cents plus tax. That's a saving of 95 cents. And if that's not like finding a dollar, it is like finding 95 cents. And so I do hope that none of you who would like to have one of these sets will be disappointed. That's why I say again, please go to your favorite store or telephone at once and ask for your Lady Esther 30th anniversary set. If you put it off, I'm afraid you'll find them all gone. Don't let that happen, will you? And remember, you save 95 cents.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of The Old Lady Shows Her Mettle, starring Ethel Barrymore, Lionel Barrymore, and Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. Now, once again, Lionel Barrymore takes over the author's duties.
Mrs. Dower, you're in glory, aren't butcher. There he is, big as life, sitting at your table eating your food. No wonder you hover behind his chair. No wonder you keep murmuring.
Kenneth.
Huh? What's that you said?
Nothing. Just Kenneth. Will you have another dish of tea?
Ah, maybe I will. But don't you go thinking for 1 minute, Mrs., that you've got me.
No.
Just as long as we understand each other. Besides, I have a theater tonight. So, here's to you, you old mop and pail. Ave atque vale.
What's that?
That means hail and farewell. It's Latin.
Oh, are you a scholar?
Well, being Scots, there's almost nothing I don't know.
You're a proper man to look at, Kenneth.
I am generally admired.
She's an enviable woman.
Who?
Your mother.
Huh? Oh, that. that was just protecting myself. I have neither father, nor mother, nor wife, nor grandmama. This party never even knew who his proud parents were.
Is that true?
It's gospel.
Heaven be praised.
No, none of that. I was a fool to tell you. And don't think you can take advantage of it. Pass the cake.
I dare say it's true. We'll never meet again, Kenneth.
I wouldn't wager on it. When I get to Paris, no doubt I'll find you waiting for me with a cup of tea.
Oh, Kenneth. If just once before I die, I could be fitted for a Paris gown with a dreamy corsage. Oh.
What is it?
Hairy legs.
Mind your manners. Anyway, I must be stepping. Thank you for my tea.
Not at all. Where are you living?
Well, there's a place called The Hut where some of the 2nd Battalion are. They'll take me in. Beggars can't be choosers.
Beggars?
Well, I've never been here before. If you know what it means to be in a place like London without a friend, you know it.
That's my condorum too, Kenneth.
I'm sorry for you, you poor old lady. But I see no way out for either of us.
Do you not?
Are you at it again?
Kenneth, I've heard that what a man on leave longs for more than anything else is a bed with sheets and a bath.
And you never heard anything truer.
Well, then, Kenneth Dowie, open that door, the door to the pantry.
Yes?
Now lift the dresser top and tell me what you see.
Well, it's a kind of a bath.
You could bath yourself there, pretty Kenneth, half at a time.
But I...
And that isn't all. You think this is a wardrobe, don't you? But when I open the door, you see a bed.
Whoosh! That's the dodge we need in the trenches.
That's your bed, Kenneth.
Mine? Well, what about you?
Oh, there's a woman next door. Give me a shakedown till your leave is up.
Ah, you queer old divot. What can make you so keen to be burdened with a lump like me? I tell you, I'm the commonest kind of man.
And I'm just the commonest kind of old wifey myself.
I've been a kickabout all my life, and I'm no great shakes at the war.
Yes, you are. How many Germans have you killed?
Well, just two for certain, and there was no glory in it. It was just they wanted my shirt.
Have you took prisoners?
Well, once I took half a dozen.
But how could one man take half a dozen?
The usual way. I surrounded them. You know, this mattress is on the fairest side. Old lady, if you really want me to, I'll bide.
Oh.
But mind you, I don't accept you as a relation.
Oh.
For your personal glory, you can go on pretending to the neighbors. But the best I can promise you is you're on probation. I'm a cautious character, but we must see how you'll turn out.
Yes, Kenneth.
And now I think for that bath. My theater begins at 6:30, and I wouldn't want to be...
What is it, Kenneth?
The theater. I just happened to think... It would be showier if I took a lady.
Kenneth, tell me this instant what you mean. Don't keep me on the jumps.
No, it couldn't be done.
Was it me you were thinking of?
Just for a moment. But you have no style.
Not in this, of course. But, oh, Kenneth, you saw me in my merino. It's laced up the back in the very latest.
Well.
You can see for yourself. It's right here in the drawer. There, Kenneth, look.
Yeah, it looks none so bad. But have you got a bit of chiffon for the neck? It's not the bombs nor the Kaisers nor Tipperary that men think of in the trenches. It's chiffon.
I swear I have, Kenneth. And I have a bangle and a muff and gloves.
Aye. Tell me, do you think you could give your face a less homely look?
Oh, yes, Kenneth. I'm sure I could.
Very well, then. You can have a try.
And so he leaves you, old lady, to bath himself. And so we leave you two for the moment, ringed around with entrancing hopes. In fact, we won't see you again until some evenings later. We'll be curious, naturally, to learn what's transpired, so we'll be waiting for you in your rooms. And as it happens, we won't be alone.
Almost midnight, Mrs. Trimley. Where could they be?
At the theater again, I'll warrant.
I was to the theater once. I was took by a toff. Treated me just
quiet.
Like...
There's a motor outside.
A taxi, no less. It's her third this week.
Look at her. Getting out like a queen.
What's she in?
The new Astrakhan jacket he gave her with Venus sleeves.
Has she sold her gabardine coat?
Oh, now to her. She's wearing the Astrakhan and carrying the gabardine flung careless like over her arm.
I saw her strutting about with him yesterday as if the two of them made a procession.
Hush, they're coming down the steps.
Strike me dead if she's not hooked on his arm.
Be still, here they are.
Well, ladies, Kenneth, we have visitors.
Ah, your servant, ladies.
Oh, well, we do, sir. We should apologize, Mrs. Dowie. We're not meaning to stay.
You're very welcome, I'm sure. Just wait till I get out of my astrakhan and my muff and my gloves and my excelsior. A little present from Claire.
Mr. Dowie, you've given her a glory time.
Oh, it's her that's given it to me, Mrs.
He's just pampered me. And the saints forgive us. But this being the last night, we had a sit-down supper at a restaurant. Mm. I swear by heaven we had champagne wine.
Oh.
And to them as doubts my words... Here's the cork.
I don't believe
it. Oh, my goodness. Well, thanks, Wilhelm.
Claire, she's got the cork.
I'm sure we don't grudge you your treats, Mrs. Dowie, and sorry we are, but this is the end.
The end?
Yes. Yes, I must be off in 10 minutes.
Oh, of course. If you'll excuse me, lady.
Ah, strange. Why should she hide in the pantry like that?
Oh, poor thing. She's too polite to break down in company. Well, we must run, Mr. Dowie. You'll be having some last words to say to her.
That's why I kept her out so long, to have less time to say them in.
Oh, it's the best way. Come along, ladies. Good luck, Cocky.
Goodbye, sir.
It's such a nice
thing. Devil. Well, I might as well face it. Old lady.
Is it time?
No, not yet. Dixon's coming by for me. I told him to whistle when I must go.
All's ended. Everything.
Now then, you promised to be gay. We were to help one another.
Yes, Kenneth.
That's no way to say goodbye. No way at all.
I'm sorry, Kenneth.
Besides, I've something to discuss with you. Have you noticed you've never called me son?
Have I noticed? I was feared, Kenneth. You said I was on probation.
Aye, and so you were. Well, the probation's ended. And if you want me, you can have me.
Oh. Kenneth, will I do?
Woman, don't be so forward. Wait till I've proposed.
Propose for a mother.
Ah, what for no? Mrs. Dowie, you queer old Carl, you spunky old biddy, have I your permission to ask you the most important question a neglected orphan can ask of an old lady?
None of your sauce, Kenneth.
For a long time, Mrs. Dowie, you cannot have been unaware of my sonnish feelings for you.
Wait till I take my mop to you.
And if you're not unwilling to be my mother, I swear I'll never ask another.
What, Kenneth?
Tell me, mother. Was I a well-behaved infant?
Not you, sonny. You were rampaging rogue.
Was I slow in learning to walk?
The quickest in our streets. Oh, was that the whistle?
No.
I thought...
Look here. In taking me over, you have, in a manner of speaking, joined the Black Watch.
I like to think that, Kenneth.
And you must therefore behave so the regiment will be proud of you. Oh. Son! Aye, that's the style. Now listen. I've sent in your name as my nearest of kin... And your allowance will be coming to you in the nearest way.
Oh, is it wicked, Kenneth?
Aye, well, I'll take the responsibility for it in both wills. You see, I want you to be safeguarded in case...
Kenneth!
Son!
I forgot.
Have no fear. I'll be back, covered with mud and medals. And mind you, have that cup of tea waiting for me.
Yes.
Now, what fun we'll have writing to one another. Real letters this time.
Yes.
I hope her ladyship will go on sending me cakes.
You may be sure.
Here, let me tie my scarf around your neck like that. You must have been a funny thing when you were young, eh?
Blue was always my color. I can't... Oh.
There's the whistle, old lady. It's time.
Go now, Kenneth, please.
Old lady... You are what Blighty means to me now.
Oh,
don't think it's fair to leave you that way. So we'll just have one more look at you. A month or two after Kenneth's death in action. It's early morning, and you're having a look at your medals. Kenneth's medals, before setting off on your daily round. First the medals, then the scarf, and then the champagne cork, whose tinsel needs a bit of polishing with your apron. No tears as you look at them. No, no. No tears as you put them back. No tears. But rather, a triumphant pride as you lift your pail and mop again and say to no one in particular.
Well, off to work.
On behalf of the Motion Picture Relief Fund, thank you, Ethel and Lionel Barrymore and Douglas Fairbanks, Jr., for a memorable performance. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
For you who have not so far succeeded in getting one of my Lady Esther 30th anniversary sets, a last reminder. You must now act swiftly. In most stores tomorrow morning, you will find they have either received additional sets or have a limited number of 30th anniversary sets on hand. But the number is limited, and they're going very fast indeed. So do plan to go to your favorite store or telephone tomorrow. And I know you will be pleased with this $1.93 value which you get for only 98 cents plus tax. This attractively packaged set gives you my large $1.38 jar of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, and in addition, the boudoir size 55 cent box of Lady Esther face powder in my flattering new shade, Bridal Pink. As you see, this makes a regular value of $1.93, but you get both for only 98 cents plus tax. You save 95 cents, almost a dollar, a lucky dollar. However, you must go at once if you want one of my Lady Esther anniversary sets. After your favorite store has sold the sets now on hand, I do not believe they'll be able to secure any more. So do try your store again tomorrow. Please don't wait and risk being disappointed again.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present Experiment Perilous. It will star Joan Bennett, Adolphe Monjou, and George Brent. Be sure to listen. The Old Lady Shows Her Medals was produced and directed for Lady Esther by Bill Lawrence and adapted by Harry Cronman. Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. will soon be seen starring in the RKO Technicolor production Sinbad the Sailor. Ethel Barrymore can soon be seen starring in the RKO production, The Farmer's Daughter. Lionel Barrymore is currently starring with Margaret O'Brien in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, Three Wise Fools. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Tonight's Lady Esther Screen Guild show is being heard by our servicemen and women overseas through the worldwide shortwave and network facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you, and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.